thoughts. Or ask the same Holy Spirit to be, so to say, the right things. And to then let the mind you're open to accept what is good. Yes, it's the Father in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, this is old news for soon to me. You were supposed to talk about what Jesus mentioned. Bishop Sheen said, I come to there. You ever seen Bishop Sheen say stuff? You get it on YouTube. There are 30 minute things, and they're really good. All, you know, kind of current topics. Very, very well explained, extremely well explained. In his book, The Life of Christ, he says Jesus is the only man who was born to die. His purpose of being born was to die, right? To die for our sins. So that was his mission. Okay, here's a little question. How do you know if someone loves you? I'm not going to make you answer it, but think about it. What happens? I teach the baptism class, and I mentioned this in the baptism class, that I think when a baby is born, the mother is attached to it immediately. Okay? Because she's going through suffering. Okay? And that has made her, I would say, attached to the baby. Okay? And but if the father, that's not true. So the father needs to do things, sacrifice for the child. Otherwise, he will not love it. And I never found out that happened. The father didn't feel comfortable with the baby, and so he really didn't do anything. And it's real strange. When they started playing T-ball, that's when he got involved with the kids. But it was kind of late. So, as I said, that was the best. So you fathers, you change the diapers and walk on the night. You know, if you don't do that, you're not going to love the child. So it's sacrifice. The key aspect, the love and sacrifice really go together. So that, you know, the courting, right? When you're courting, you do things for the other person, right? Okay? And hopefully after you're married, you'll still do things for the other person. And so that's how we know love and sacrifice are really, really close to the baby. So that's true of Jesus' mission. Okay? Sacrifice. His love, okay, to show his love for us, okay. And he did it through his death, resurrection, and ascension. Of course, his whole life long, he was badgered by the Pharisees every time he moved there. In fact, it's just amazing that every time he's talking, it seems like the Pharisees must have been following around, you know, trying to catch him or something all the time, right? So he really got persecuted all the time. But John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. When it says it's might, it's not would. Okay? It's not so that everybody would have eternal life, so that everybody might have. Okay? They're not guaranteed, right? And that everyone who is you is me. Okay? Each one of us. Okay. Think about life before Christ, okay? There are all these tribal gods, okay? There was tribal warfare, they're all fighting. It was chaos. And even here in North America here, right, the Indian tribes are all fighting each other. Okay? The territory, I guess, just for fun. And if you read in the Bible, you find out that they would attack and they would kill everybody, all the animals and everything. Okay? It was total destruction. And that's how it was. It was chaos, okay, before Christ came. So then when Jesus came into that environment, it's like, of course, the Jews had it better. Right? Definitely the Jews had it poor. Okay? In fact, if you read the Psalms, you'll find out that the Jews were always thanking God. Psalm 119. Okay. Jews are thanking God for the Ten Commandments, for the order in their lives. And so they were different from that. The chaos. They asked, they still give the chaos, but it was from the neighbors. Okay, so look at what Jesus came into that. Okay, and so it was totally contrary to the common practice. Right? Love your neighbor, not an eye for an eye, but you turn the other cheek, right? Love your enemy, okay? Blessed are the poor, the Jews always love the rich. So this whole thing was earth-shattering teachings. Only anti-establishment for sure. As I go through this, I'm going to go through the mysteries of the Rosary and I think one or two on the patience of the cross. The Rosary is really a great way to review Christ's life. Okay, so I will tell you what part of the Rosary. This is from the Luminous Mysteries, the third Luminous Mystery. This is called the Proclamation of the Gospel. Okay, so each slide will have on it, you know, where you would see that. Okay, and I hope you know, that will help you remember it. The Rosary is a good meditation on the life of Christ. So too many words, I know. Sorry. Use the viewer, the PowerPoint guru, and say, no, that's you on two charts. So Jesus' teaching, he built on the Ten Commandments, okay? Not throughout the rabbinical laws. And he spoke with authority. He talked about that in the Gospels, right? They were amazed. He spoke with authority, not like the other prophets, okay? Not quoting the rabbis. Kept the rabbis before them. And then he authenticated what he was doing by miracles. That's the miracles are a sign of the supernatural. You know that the Muslims, in the Quran, it says that miracles are not necessary. Okay, because Muhammad was not a performer of miracles. So he said, I have to cover myself. And so they're not necessary. Okay, well, they are necessary. Okay, that's how you show this supernatural thing, it is not a natural thing. And of course, it contradicted the Pharisees' rules. Okay, those, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Pharisees resented it. So all of his life long, he was constantly badgered, right? They resented his teachings, okay? And as Jesus said, they had ears that couldn't hear, eyes that couldn't see, okay? They prized wealth and prestige, okay? Resented his goodness, pardoned us by the sin, and sought to kill him. Okay. They resented the goodness. Remember when I was in ninth grade, I went to an all-boys school. And one boy, he was really smart, did everything good with the teachers told him. And, you know, he was the teacher's pet for sure. Okay. He was the smartest kid in the class. And a really nice guy, except I resented it. So I know exactly what that means. I just think back how I resented that. We didn't end up that way. Actually, he ended up. So anyway, I know what that meant. So Jesus' mission was accomplished. Sacrifice for us. He sacrificed his life for us. And here's the start of it.
Okay.
The start of the really intense part of it. Okay. First is the dying in the garden. Okay. First, sorrowful mystery. So the sorrowful mysteries are the most important in terms of his mission, I think. maybe not. They're all pretty important. Okay. So, and I don't know if you heard had the explanation of the dying in the garden. I know he was studying blood. Okay. Because, of course, there he's suffering as a man. We always have the problem of, Jesus discussed God and man, right? And sometimes he speaks as God, sometimes he speaks as man. Okay? And as we read that, keep in mind, let's see if he's doing one or the other, which one is he doing right now? Okay? Well, the suffering he did in the garden before he was crucified was as a man. Okay? But it was immediate to death, as against the man, David the Father. Told God to do it. Okay? That's his will be done. And Peter, James, and John are the ones that identify them. He told them to go pray, Instead, they slept. Okay. And when I go into adoration, one of my problems I have is I fall asleep. I said, oh, I know. I have a picture of my missal. That's the picture of the three apostles sleeping with Jesus in the background. And when I go with my wife, okay, and she says, wake up. So those are my, not my heroes, but those are my predecessors, I guess, are meant that. Okay. So let's learn from this. Father Dyer says, when he says this mystery, instead of sorrow for sin, he feels gratitude. He thanks God, as he phrases, because God submitted to that. Okay. So you can get different fruits from all the different mysteries. I thought that was interesting. Just said that at the meeting last week. This happened. Okay. So then Jesus condemned to death. Okay. So that's not one of the mysteries, but it's the first station of the church and the stations of the cross. That's another thing that's good to meditate on. The saints all, you know, many of them meditate on the passion of the Lord. I don't know how they did it, but I try to do it two mysteries a day. I go through the week, so there's 14 stations. I do two a day. Okay. So in a way, I'm doing a mini of what the saints do. I'm thinking about the passion, but not so long as they did. So Jesus was born to die, okay? And he was condemned by the Jewish courts. Okay. And then they weren't allowed to execute them, so they had to send them on to Pilate. After investigating, studying and talking to him, they sent to Jesus to respond. Pilate found no fault. Ends up saying, what is truth? And he didn't wait for the answer and walked away. So he really was not good will. So the Palestinian Jews, I don't know where I read this, but the Palestinian Jews seem to be the ones that were agitating for his death, and they were all influenced by the hierarchy. Okay, the high priest and all. Okay. Whereas the ones that greeted him on Palm Sunday coming into Jerusalem, okay, were the Galilean Jews, which is just did most of his miracles and all. Okay, so they followed him down there, and so they were on his side with the Palestinian Jews were against him. And the clincher was, it seems that they had to yell out to Pilate, we have no king but Caesar. And so then Pilate got worried about losing his job. And he gave in and had him crucified. Something like him crucified. But it starts off with Scourging the Pillar. I'm like, how many of you have seen The Passion of the Christ? Did you sit through the whole thing? My wife walked out. She couldn't stand that. That much cruelty. This is the scene from The Scourging of the Pillar. Apparently, for the scourgings, a lot of the criminals that were scourged died. And according to one commentary, a lot of them went crazy. They actually, the constant pain, really died. They went insane. So that was Pilate's first sin. It's okay, Alice. Maybe I could appease the Jews just by having them scourged. Okay. I think that was, well, that's the scene that my wife put down. She could not take it. It is amazing the cruelty to the man. If you think about being scourged yourself, how many times can you be hit like that and not go insane? You wonder, it's going to hurt another character. I think of that every time I get a flu shot or something. what if they kept doing this? which is a lot easier than that. Okay. So from this mortification, okay, sins of the flesh, okay. And then again, practicing the love and sacrifice, giving up, offering that sacrifice, offering that suffering to God is part of this, the three mystery of school through some modification. That's the big thing.
Okay, so part of that, with the good old soldiers who were justifying him, or I'm sorry, encouraging him, thought another good thing that we granted his warrants. That's what they did. That's the third sovereign history. Okay, so the soldiers added to him thorns. Do you know what a paracantha book in the bush is? I think you'll not be able to experience this. Paracanthas are beautiful. Like we had two of them on our property. I was really happy when I finally chopped them all down. My problem is, when you chop them down, you have to gut them or something. And they had thorns on them that are about that long. And I swear they poisoned them. That if you poke yourself with them, it hurts like crazy. It isn't just like being poop. I mean, it seems like there must be a poison. Well, it didn't look hollow, but I didn't look for them very much. But it was hard getting rid of the bushes because of this. Okay, well, that's the kind of thorns we're talking about here. Okay? And I often thought when I would cut myself with the thing that, and this is what they were pushing into his head, like thorns like that. When you go to the nursery next time, go look one up. I wouldn't recommend buying them. They're real bugger. And they're hard to kill. They fight back. So Pilate took Jesus before the Jews, and he's really reluctant to crucify him. Behold the man. And they said, no, crucify him, give king to Caesar, and that's what kind of did it. So from that we should learn, this is the head of all courage. You have to have your head on. You're brave about it. And the next part of this mission is the carrying of the cross. That's the fourth mystery of the ritual. And it's called the Via Dolorosa, the way of the sorrow, if you will. So he was made to carry his own cross, and one has to do that. But he was helpless. He didn't look like he was going to make it, so they asked Simon of Cyrene to help him out. Simon was reluctant at first. That's where the Passion of Christ, I thought, had a fabulous scene there, because he didn't want to do it. But in the process, as he's going along in it, he could see he was softening up and converting, and then he actually did convert, and his two sons actually, Alexander and Rufus, are actually cited in the letters in Romans there. So his whole family converted. So the three last was to be patience. Okay. I'm not quite sure why it's patience, but I guess Jesus kept on. He did get up again. Get up again. Forward. In the notes, in the handout, I have a map of the passion sites that you can look at. It shows what 2,000 feet is. It's not really a large area. I often think when Jesus falls the third time on the stage of the cross, that he was within a few steps of his being crucified. So in the last minute, I think I'm praying that about failing the last minute. I'm probably pretty much near the end of my life, and I think I got a little ways to go, so the fifth sovereign mystery is the crucifixion. Okay. And you can see here. Okay, they all taunted him. Okay, so he's hanging there, and they're making fun of him, right? And I don't know that he dies because you die that way. Because you lose all the strength, you can't breathe in. But when you breathe in, your chest goes up. And you just die of asphyxiation, because you're dying of exhaustion. You don't even have enough strength. And that's why, in fact, they say that the scourging was helped them because they would die faster. The crucifixion they do in the Middle East now, I don't think they do that. So the guy's out there for days. This is our strength. And that is going on. People are being crucified. Okay. In the Middle East. So that's Good Friday, that all happens. Good Friday, that's because it was saved our soul. So the miracles that happen there, first it's the darkness, the earthquake, the temple veil torn from the top, the rest of the people torn on the bottom. So God did it. The one person, the centurion, the Roman, said, truly this is the Son of God. Look in that picture. That is the Son of God. The centurion recognized that. Okay. So it does show you how even if people look at goodness. I had a glimpse of that when I was in my faith there. I looked at the teacher's pet there, I guess. But I think we see it in society today. Constantly trying to attack the good. And that the good people, we're supposed to turn the other cheek, right? It does seem that, it seems like I'm losing my operating. I don't know. Anyway, so the fruit of this is found perseverance. We should learn from this whole process of Jesus dying on his mission to his death. Okay? To persevere. That's the persevere. Found perseverance is the greatest grace you can have, right? That means staying on God's side all the way to the end. So that's over. There are seven last words that Jesus said on the cross. It's in the handout. These are the ones that there's less to think about, meditate on there. And we see how Jesus reacted to the end of his life, at the end of his. Is that part of his mission, the suffering part of his mission? But realize that all that suffering, okay, that shows how much he loves us. Right? To suffer that much for the people, right? Just like you're suffering as you're taking care of your child, okay? Which is nothing to do. I mean, that's joyful. That's one thing, is that perfect love makes it a joy. In the marriage instructions that they used to have when I was married, it consists of beautiful marriage instruction. And one of the things that really strikes you is that, you know, they have to sacrifice for each other. And, say, and one of the sentences was, perfect love makes it a joy. I was doing something for my wife. I guess it happens often. And she says, I don't want you doing that. That's hard for you to do. That's hard for you to do. And I will say to her, perfect love makes it a joy. She said, wait a minute, you don't love me that much. But we both remember that, right? We heard that 62 years ago, and we've never forgotten that. That sentence. Okay, so, well, going through all that suffering and all, and here's the glory of it and resurrection. You know that this was teaching our CIT, we were covering the book of Job, right? He was the prototype of Christ. He says, not a prototype, but a type of Christ, okay? Because he suffered.
Thank you.
Sorry.
You do have books.
One last thing for me to say.
And Job is a type, right? Because he went through all that suffering, right? And then in the end, he's communicated, the words of us in him is, I know my Redeemer lives, right? this is one. Take down the cross. They put him in St. Joseph Arimathea's tomb. He was a rich man. Okay, and that's encouraging because Jesus has said that it's very hard for a rich man to get to the heaven. Camels get out of an eagle, right? And I thought, I'm doing. Well, I'm not super wealthy, but I think I'm rich. And Joseph is my hero.
Here's a rich man who made it. Nicodemus is another one. who assumed that he's not St. Joseph. No. But just imagine the guards were lying there and to make sure that nobody stole the body or anything. And as they're lying there, these tombstones, the sickle stone is covering the tomb. Okay, starts rolling away, right, while they're lying there. I mean, that must have scared them. Right? All by itself, it's moving. Okay, right? And then Jesus comes out. I just wonder, you know, they lied about it, so they went to sleep, right, because they were paid to do that. But I wonder if in the long run, they weren't converted. And then they had firsthand evidence, right? Yeah, they probably saw the crucifixion, and then they were guarding the tomb. So they had firsthand evidence. I just really wonder, when I think through that mystery, that's what I think about. did they really convert me? And I thought I'd die to find that out, I guess. And the discovery, it really shows us that, Mary Magdalene didn't expect this to the point where she didn't even recognize him out there. Okay. Peter had to go check it out. Okay. John stayed outside. But Jesus ate to show that he wasn't a ghost. When he met the whole all the apostles in the cenacle, he said, well, give me something to eat. Well, I guess it was on the shore of the lake. So he wanted something to eat. Surely it's not just a vision. And of course, St. Thomas said, you're my Lord and my God. And Jesus would say, no, I'm not God. No. And we let that go. That's one of the places where he claimed he's God, but he didn't directly. Somebody else said that. Okay. So he showed the victory over death. So for us, believers, death is not the end. Okay. It's change of location. My father's 100th birthday, I wrote to my sister and said, Dad's still alive, just not here. I talked to a couple of atheists. And they just think it's over. Right? When you die, it's not done. They had no reason actually to be good or anything, or to stay alive, not to be suicidal, it's tough. They have absolutely pointless lives and just can't get over it. Whereas we have something to look forward to. We can look forward to that. And Job did. I know Job, he talks about that. Okay. So the fruit of that mystery is faith. Okay. Faith really hinges on that a lot. But it tells us the rich life after death. Of course, the Jews, the Pharisees believe that. The Sadducees did not. In fact, in Job, there's a debate about when that happened, when that book was written. But in Job, he believed in life after death. Mm-hmm. So, Scott Hahn of Not the Adult said they thought that was an early book. Okay, and others say no, that was after the end of the Old Testament. So we don't know exactly when it was because it's a timeless one. Okay, so that was the first voice, but the second voice, which is essentially Jesus in heaven. Okay, it happened to Bethany. Okay, the mankind was raised up, and that raised up. And that's our future. At the end of time, we get our bodies back. Okay, but it always strikes me that the apostles were all there, and Jesus sends them to heaven, and they're all happy. Their leader is leaving. The one who's protected them all this time, right? With all these miracles and fed the thousands and stuff like that. Did all those things, and they're happy that he's leaving. Because they had that to look forward to. Right? They said, he's doing that. We have hope that that's what's going to happen to us. And if you think about that whole process that Jesus went through with death and resurrection, you think about the martyrs.
Right? Here's somebody being fed to the lions, right? Being carried off to the lions, right? And he's lying there, and he sees the lion bounding toward him to eat him, right? They really had to focus on the black of death. To start focusing on, his teeth are going, I haven't led with that. Okay. They probably wouldn't have made it. Okay. But by focusing on where they're going, okay. So it'd be worthwhile for all of us to get that kind of power concentration. Right. We can put up with it. Okay. Anyway, just the hope of the future, right? to get that. We have not only peace, but it can't be disturbed. So it's secure peace, absolute security. So, was redemption necessary? Well, Adam and Eve were the typical man and woman. And God gave us a free will, and gave us a free will, so he has a reason to bring this stuff out of us. If we didn't have free will, he wouldn't have a reason. And we wouldn't have, we would have had to do that, right? So it's only because we have free will that God can say, okay, I can give you a reward because of that. And Jesus is, you might say, this is our prototype, okay? There's no man on earth, nobody in a group of men, could not redeem all men from the very beginning to the end of time. But that'd be somebody who would be, living beginning to the end of time. And so it had to be God, basically, to do it. God. The biggest thing was, I always like to quote Mr. Hitchens. He was in a debate with Dinesh D'Souza, and he brought up the suffering. Dinesh D'Souza did not answer it very well, I think. But he said, a good God would not allow such suffering. And the atheist that I'm talking to, that's exactly what they have. In fact, every atheist I've ever talked to, it boils down to that. How can a good God allow such suffering? Okay. And he says, look at this. Why does God, the man Jesus suffer like that? No, God suffered, okay? He had become a man so he could suffer, because he doesn't suffer, in heaven. So he had become a man to suffer and die. That really was Jesus' mission. But when Muslims say there's no need for redemption, they don't really, they said Adam and Eve suffered for their sin and everybody's all around. Okay. But they don't have an explanation as to why we have an evil inclination. We have an evil inclination of religion, sin. Okay. But they don't address that issue. The Muslims don't have an interest in it. They had philosophers around the 1200s. And then they said, no, it's got to be all about faith. And they, the leader of it, his name I can't remember right now, they didn't execute, but otherwise they did. All they do is they teach submission to God's will, which is a good thing. Anyway. So why did God choose this method? This is Lucy asking peanuts there, Charlie, but what is it, can you read? I can't read them. This is Charlie, what is love? And Charlie answers, a man called Jesus. which I think is a very great answer. That was always good. Okay. What we know from the hymn Adoram Gloriam Patri is that just one drop of blood from Jesus would have been sufficient. He would not have shared with us how much he loved us that. He also would not have shared with us how serious sin is. So we get two things from this whole thing. Okay? How much he loves us and serious sin is. Okay? Father Pollard said that in watching the Passion of Christ, if Jesus were purely man, he would die at the scourging. Okay. Or on the way to Calvary and then at the cross. He said, only because he was God was he able to provide enough to continue on with the sacrifice. Okay. So he really showed us how to love. Okay. That was a total, total thing. None of us can suffer that much, right? Any man would die. He died one of the other times. Okay. And so only God could suffer that much. So for that, we learn the heart of sin. Okay. Why at this time? I've always thought that with Aristotle, the Greek philosophers and all, they had really gotten as far as they could get just from philosophy. They needed revelation. And so God started the revelation. And, you know, well, Jesus came, because Aristotle was 300 years before Christ. And so it was a peaceful time. The Greeks were at the end of the philosophical development. Okay? And so mankind was, you might say, the best place they could be. Besides which, God would choose the best place, right? Okay, so there's, so the resurrection then is a picture of death. We have something to look forward to. Okay? The ancient the pharaohs used to do that, right? When they made the pyramids, they put all the food in the air and stuff for them to eat. Because they assumed there'd be life after death. Okay, but we have actually proof of it. Our bodies will be, they assume since Jesus rose when he was 33 years old, that we will all be 33 years old. My grandson just turned 35. He said, you're on your way down now. You're burning past your peak. And he, of course, appeared 500 one time, so there was really a lot of evidence. And with the ascension, Jesus took our whole human nature to heaven, so that's, you know, good evidence that we'll get our bodies back. Besides, we're body and soul, right? We're both physical and spiritual, and so to be a human being, you have that spirit, body and the spirit, so we'll be restored to that. Okay, but you know, it is interesting, the disciples return. Rejoicing. Of course, they're the tower and cover where the most different. Yeah. I would think when at the end when the Holy Spirit came, and then what was the discussion as to, okay, who's going to go out and tell those 3,000 people out there? Peter did it, so I guess he was chosen by them. Okay, so Jesus completed his mission. His mission was redemption. He fulfilled all the prophecies. I don't know if you've ever done the equivalent to Google, and well, it could be Google before they filtered everything out. I'm not sure what happened these days, but anyway, you can go in and say, you know, which prophecies did Jesus fulfill? Okay, and you get a long, long list of them. So we ourselves have to follow the way of the cross. Okay? We have to, and not the way of ourselves, the way of the cross. Okay? We can offer our sufferings. And that takes a lot of the sting out of the suffering, quite frankly. If you think of that, it's your suffering that you're offering to God. We should be grateful. Grateful now. If you need to get to heaven, grateful to Jesus for fulfilling his mission. And tell others about it. Okay? And like I said, be ready to be a martyr. Your eyes will be eternity. That's the best thing you can do. As I teach teaching the kids, I say that, you know, you need to keep in mind what the goal of life is, and that's to get to heaven. Okay? So when you choose a career, you're doing whatever you're doing, remember that the purpose is to get to heaven. And that's the best advice is to live selflessly. So that's our purpose, to get there. And thanks to God, we have that opportunity to do it. And Jesus showed us the path, okay? The love and sacrifice. And there's something to think about. What is your mission? One way of thinking about it, okay? Your mission is to play properly on Jesus' team, on God's team. Okay. You don't want to let the team down, right? They don't let Jesus down. That's what sin is. Sin is letting the team down. And you don't do that. When you let the team down, if you're still doing it, you don't want to do it. It's because there are a lot of the other people on the team, right? When you're a team member, that's what your concern is how the team's doing, which is football, not quarterback, too. Okay. your mission?
Yeah. Yeah, you went through it pretty quick this time.
I like hearing it, you know. So thank you for going through. Always, you know, good reminders. So.
Where are the two of you coming from? What religion?
I was raised Christian. Evangelical church.
I was baptized Catholic and went to Catholic grade school and then ended up in public school from like third grade on, so I was never confirmed. Then went to Catholic college, but for whatever reason didn't close the circle.
You went to Catholic college?
Yeah. I went to Loyola Chicago. For whatever reason, just confirming the church. So.
Thank you.
Keeping them
family. Are you familiar with the charismatic movement? Doing a good job?
Yeah.
Because I was in charismatics for 10 years.
Yeah, charismatic, the gifts of the spirit, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's good influence on me. Any thoughts?
I looked up that plant. That plant is nasty.
are you looking it up?
I looked it up.
It is.
Not. Apparently, they say it's not poisonous, but if you break the skin with a thorn, it says it causes all sorts of nasty irritations and stuff.
It is. It's amazing. I think I can go through the thicket and not be hurt as bad. It's just getting one of those. So I was really happy when But I had a problem after I cut the thing down. There were two of them, actually. And then I had to figure out how to get it out of there.
And there were so many, like, forums I found that, like, posted people saying, avoid this plant, avoid it.
Oh, is that right?
I don't know.
I like the berries. That's what we got in the first place. It's just beautiful, right?
It's pretty, but not the
form. It sounds like the apple root. In the Garden of Eden.
Don't touch it.
So, do you recommend the ratio? Do you recommend the stations?
So that's what caused the whole flooding to the ranch.
Really?
What is
like it? The lodge of stuff here.
Yeah. So the thorn does not have a toxin, but it tends to shed light, little tiny pieces of itself inside the wound.
Like a shrapnel.
So it causes that irritation, work its way in.
It's like a quill.
Yeah, it causes inflammation of tendons and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
It's like a quill. It's probably got scales.
Right. It's like a shrapnel quill.
Yeah.
So you know about that plant.
I just went and looked it up.
Right? I'm
a biologist by academic training, okay. So I gotta know.
So that's why I'm so bad.
Yes.
You can go to the Merrifield Gardens and buy some if you want.
Oh, no, thanks. No, thank you.
You want to test it out.
But you think about it, it's like the ultimate set of splinters, right? So now you force a crown of that down on somebody.
It's not a very neat spot.
No.
So, I mean, the advantage of it, of having it, is that you'll realize what the crown of thorns was like.
You can unite your suffering to Christ.
Yes, right. Good plans for Lent.
Right.
Go plant, go produce
some. On a good Friday, you can go touch a fire fountain.
Can you offer a closing prayer?
Yes.
suffering and dying for us, giving us the example, providing a path for redemption of our sins. So we ask us to ask you for the graces to capitalize and take advantage of it so that we may follow you to heaven. We ask you for the Father, Jesus.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Everyone have a great week.